Men, it's not enough to be disciples ourselves. Jesus gave us a direct command, a great commission to go out and make disciples of all nations. I'm Brian Patrick. As we continue our series on becoming disciples, go make disciples, this time on Crossing the Goal. We're kicking off our show on becoming disciples. Go make disciples this time. And here's the Crossing the Goal team. Vice President of Renewal Ministries, Peter Herbeck. Founder and President of the Fellowship of Catholic University Students, FOCUS. Curtis Martin, and former All-Pro wide receiver and NFL coach, and our coach here on Crossing the Goal, Danny Abramowitz. So we are members of the Catholic Church, which exists, Peter, to go make disciples.
Yeah, exactly. We're just now getting to not really the heart of the matter, but where everything we've done up to this point naturally leads. We're taking our cue from Pope John Paul II in this series on discipleship. And he began with a disciple is one who encounters the Lord, is converted, someone who comes to new life in the Holy Spirit, someone who comes together in communion with one another in fellowship in the church, and then passion for the truth and living for the truth. But now, John Paul II said, all this leads to this focus right now on evangelization, on the commitment to go forth and to make disciples.
Your heart of this flows from our Lord's last words on earth, the Great Commission. And it's interesting to see, you know, we give the Catechism of the Catholic Church this great gift in this last generation, 2,865 articles that explain the Catholic faith. And where do we find the Great Commission? Article number 2. It's right at the very beginning. This is the definition. The first article is about how God is gracious and desires to bless us. The second one is, we got to go share this. So mission is at the heart of what it means to be Catholic.
Yeah. And Jesus not only taught the disciples by his word, he did by example. Think about it, washing of the feet of his disciples, feeding thousands multiple times, wedding feast of Cana, never thinking of himself, what? Always thinking of others.
Mm-hmm. And if we truly appreciate this gift of faith that we receive, we're going to want to go out and make disciples of all nations. We have a game plan for you to work with. Peter and Curtis have that next here on Crossing the Goal.
I'm Curtis Martin. I'm here with Peter Herbeck, and we're talking about mission, the church's call to mission. Why is this so important, Peter?
Yeah, it's central. The recent popes have reminded us, starting with Pope Paul VI, that the church exists to evangelize. He said it's her deepest identity. It's the very reason that she exists. Now, I want to throw a question back to you. Why? Why is it her deepest essence and at the heart of our life together?
The Lord's last command to us before he ascends into heaven on Ascension Thursday is what's known as the Great Commission. He turns to his apostles after having spent 3 years with them, of teaching them and showing them and demonstrating, then dying on the cross, raised from the dead, spends 40 days teaching. The last words he says to them, he turns to them and says, all authority on heaven and earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations. Baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach them to observe all that I've commanded you, and I will be with you until the end of the age. This is the mandate of the church.
Yeah. Luke picks it up too in the Acts of the Apostles just before Jesus ascends into heaven. He says in Acts chapter 1, verse 4, he says, and you heard from me, for John baptized with water, but before many days you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Why did Jesus want to baptize the apostles with the Holy Spirit? This is the culmination of everything Jesus came to do. This is it. He's giving to the apostles the thing he wants them to do that's most on his heart, and he doesn't want them to forget it. He goes on to say, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Then you shall be my witnesses to the ends of the earth.
This is the power. And to recognize there's so much packed into these passages where the Lord is summing up his entire earthly mission, which is extended throughout time in the church. We continue to be his hands, his feet, his voice. And so much is there. His presence, I am with you. I'm going to empower you through the power of the Spirit. The mission is universal. And sometimes we as Catholics sit back and say, well, you know, I'm worried about my kids. Okay, one of the reasons we're worried about our kids is because we don't have our eye on trying to reach the world. If we were busy reaching the world, God would open up the floodgates of grace to reach our families as well. But when we try to hold on to the little we have, we may even lose that. We have to allow God to move us to a whole other level of generosity.
Yeah. The call, the disciple, we've been talking about disciples for seven straight weeks now. We're in our seventh week. And a disciple is passionate about the Great Commission and the Great Commandment. The Great Commandment to love God, love your neighbor, and the Great Commission from the Lord to go make disciples. And the message is key. When we go make disciples, when the Holy Spirit, Jesus gives the command and the Holy Spirit empowers, what does he empower the apostles to do? To proclaim the message. Faith comes through hearing. And what's heard is the word of God. And we see in Acts 2, when the Spirit came upon the apostles, Peter proclaimed clearly, said, "This Jesus God raised up, and for this we're all his witnesses, being therefore exalted now at the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he's poured out his Spirit upon us." And he goes, and people were amazed at what happened. They're amazed at the proclamation, which was summarized in this from Peter. He said, "This is the heart of our message. The Lord said to my Lord, 'Sit at my right hand till I make all your enemies your footstool.' Let all the house of Israel therefore know assuredly that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you've crucified." This is the heart of the church's message, what Father Raniero Cantalamessa, the Pope's preacher, called the germ cell upon which the whole church is built. This message about the resurrection and ascension and lordship of Jesus Christ is what the Spirit wants to back. It's the message the Spirit wants to anoint, and he wants to put it right in the heart of the hearer so that the hearer opens their heart, and then they can respond as Peter said. They said, well, what should we do? Peter said, repent. Be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins and receive the Holy Spirit.
Right. And you know, Peter, this is so central. You started by reminding us of the words of Pope Paul VI, that this is the church's deepest identity. And you think about people that say, you know, I could sit back and say, you know, where are my glasses? And it's, you know, they're on the top of my head. I've forgotten it. So forgetfulness is kind of funny. Yeah. But there's a deeper form of forgetfulness where you hit your head and you don't remember who you are, and that's called amnesia. And that can be somewhat serious, but it usually goes away. But there's a deeper form of forgetfulness. That will kill you. It's called Alzheimer's. And I would argue that if we don't understand this sense of mission, if we forget this sense of mission, then the church is suffering from spiritual Alzheimer's. And when she awakens from this realization of why we're here, who we are, and what we're supposed to be doing, then all of a sudden everything begins to work again. And so this call to mission is a lights-on experience for each of us if we embrace it.
The bishops of the World Second Vatican Council reminded us this, said the whole church is missionary. And the work of evangelization is the basic duty of the people of God. And the message is this. Pope Paul VI reminded us. He said, evangelization will always contain as the foundation, center, and at the same time the summit of its dynamism, a clear proclamation that in Jesus Christ, the Son of God made man, who died and rose from the dead, salvation is offered to all men as a gift of God's mercy and God's grace.
No, and this is, we go back to the beginning of this whole series of thoughts that we've shared over the last few weeks to recognize that the beginning is an engagement with the person of Jesus Christ. That never stops. Just as marriage is an engagement between a husband and a wife that it lasts throughout the rest of it, other stuff happens. Yeah. Children come, bills, all these other issues, and we have to navigate discipleship. But we have to recognize that the core of it is our relationship with Jesus Christ. And at the other end, the call is for us to step into mission and be ready to talk to the world, first through our actions, but also through our words, that Jesus Christ is Lord.
Yeah.
Brian.
Curtis and Peter. Coach, we've got a game plan. And this Great Commission, this isn't for wimps. This is for real men, just like the Red Zone.
I guess they want us down there. Let's go.
All right, let's man up and go down to the Red Zone next on Crossing the Goal.
We moved into the red zone on Crossing the Goal, becoming disciples. Go make disciples. And Coach, you know, we take this message across the world thanks to the EWTN Global Network, and that is what Jesus calls us to do.
Yeah, he really does. And you guys quoted scripture earlier in the game plan, but this one really touches me even deeper about the Great Commission. It's in Mark 16:15. It says, "And Jesus said to them, go in all the world, and preach the gospel to the whole creation." Mm-hmm. You know, that's amazing. And a lot of us say, wow, that's overwhelming. I don't think I can do it. Well, we're not worthy, and it is difficult, especially, but we have to make the first step. And the Lord will speak to you and give you opportunities.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about some, you know, opportunities in our lives, but you guys have opportunities. You'll have opportunities in your life also. The Lord spoke to me 25 years ago and said, start a men's prayer group.
Yeah.
And, you know, I didn't really want to do that. I didn't know what to do. I was scared. Who am I? And the devil was really working. Look what you lived your life. You tramp, you know, I mean, all that. Yeah. So I was doubting, but started it. And by that thing, it started growing. And then he got me involved with speaking and then conferences and then writing a book. The nuns up there got to be laughing. Danny wrote a book.
Yeah. You got to be kidding me.
And then
all short words.
Claudia edited.
Yeah, always
mostly pictures and but, stick people.
But the
it's,
book,
it's
right,
good.
Stick crayons and stuff. But for the general people, then, you know, the Monday Night Disciples. I mean, and yeah. Then led to Crossing the Goal.
I mean, think about usually talking the four of us sitting here. None of us at age 15 had a dream that one day we're all going to, you know, be involved in direct evangelization and doing that we're doing. But what happened was, as we became disciples, as we grew into a relationship with Christ more and more, all of a sudden, the concern to communicate that with others, or the desire, or the passion to share the story of Jesus with others began to emerge. This is what the Holy Father's been trying to tell us, what a real disciple is, and why mission evangelization is a sign of a disciple who's maturing.
And he was
who's coming
us.
In a full, yeah.
As teenagers, he was forming us. I wanted to be a DJ. I wanted to be on the radio.
Yeah.
And I did. I eventually, even just right after high school, went right into radio, then eventually into television. Yeah. And here I am doing, you know, Crossing the Goal on EWTN and the Sunrise Morning Show every morning on the network. It's just, you know, the Lord plants that in us, and it's, so it's taking the next step and following that lead, and he'll show us how to evangelize.
He does. He makes provision for us as we go along also. I mean, you read from Mark's gospel, Jesus' mandate to go to all the world, and you know, we've been working now for 13 years on college campus with Focus, and there's a certain sense in which, all right, on a large residential campus or a strong Catholic college, we've learned some things about how to reach young people. But this last summer, we had an amazing experience to go to an evangelization summit, international evangelization summit in northern Spain right before World Youth Day. We had students from Austria and Hungary and Germany, and we had people from England and Wales and Malaysia. And the question was, does this translate into other cultures? And there's certainly a real translation issue. It's going to look different every culture. Peter knows that more than anybody because of the great work you do all over the world. But we sat with college students for a week and shared extended meals and sessions of classes and things like that. And one of the things that struck me was, as we sat with the Europeans, their reoccurring comment was, never once in my life have I ever had a conversation about Jesus Christ. They may have been in a few classes where things were taught, but they've never actually talked the way we're talking about Jesus, his call in our life, what that means for us. And as they experienced it for the first time, their lives came on fire. In fact, they started to say, teach us how to do this more so we can go back. And so we've established this function where we're working with them. On campus, we do discipleship where we mentor students, but because we're not with them on a day-to-day basis and they're overseas, we don't do discipleship with them. They're doing discipleship with them. So they're meeting via sharing what it looks like.
Discipleship.
Because they want to learn how to have, on a natural way, supernatural conversations.
You know, more I got to thinking about my life and how I got involved and someone evangelized to me, as I reflected all the way up through my life, all through college, all the way up to my conversion experience, no one ever spoke to me about Jesus Christ in my life as a personal.
Like a one-on-one or a personal way.
Shared experience.
Yeah.
And when the Lord asked me to go start that group, as I got to think and reflect, even though I didn't want to do it, I says, I don't want somebody to miss the boat like I did for all those years.
Yeah.
So, as a consequence, the Monday Night Disciples, if I look back, that has been a haven to so many guys. If they didn't have that group to come to, and your group and Sunrise, where you're touching lives, we don't realize how groups like this that are evangelized can save lives, I mean souls. I've got guys that come into Monday Night Disciples and say, after they've been there for a while, I don't know what my life would be like if I didn't have the Monday Night Disciples.
And this guy here, he's really living out the Divine Commission. Go make disciples of all nations. Renewal Ministries is all over the world.
The Lord has opened lots of doors. I was just thinking, and I can relate to everything that you guys have just been saying. I grew up in a Catholic parish, small little town, one block, great people, good people, but never once in 12 years of Catholic education did anybody take an initiative to come and share their story with me in any way about knowing, and I'm not blaming them. That's the Catholic culture.
That's the truth,
exactly. Like Cardinal Dulles said, the former dean of the Catholic theologians in the country, he said that nobody has better literature and theology on evangelization than the Catholic Church. The problem is hardly anybody does it less than the Catholic Church, than Catholics. Most Catholics go their whole life long and never one time share faith with another with the intent of helping lead someone to Christ. And here we're hearing from Jesus and the teaching of the popes. Pope Paul VI said it would be unthinkable that someone would come to know Jesus Christ in their life and not share him with others.
And I wonder sometimes whether, Peter, there's a sense of this cult of the expert. Well, but I'm not a theologian.
Right.
I just want to sit back
exactly.
and say, that's such a lie. You don't have to be an expert. You need to know two stories.
Yeah.
You need to know God's story. What did Jesus Christ do for the world?
Right.
He came from heaven, emptied himself out, became like us in all things but sin, died on the cross for our sins, and was raised from the dead. And then you need to know your own story.
Yeah.
What does that meant for you? If I know those two stories, I can share those with anybody.
Yeah.
You don't have to be a theologian or have a doctorate.
Yeah.
Come on, this is just human interaction.
Yeah. Let's just look at Mother Angelica. You know, who would ever dream that a cloistered nun would start an EWTN network?
Yeah.
And it would grow to this man. People don't realize this has the capabilities of going into over 150 million homes worldwide.
That's wonderful.
And then
we're sitting in the studio right now. Focus was launched, 40 feet from here on Mother's show back, and it's amazing to see what happened.
And you think she ever dreamed
becoming
in Canton, Ohio, that she would ever? But see, across the goal is the same thing. We get emails because we wonder sometimes who are we reaching, what are we doing? But we receive emails from Africa, from all over the world, saying, hey, we love your show, keep doing it. We don't have any other opportunity to see things like this. Keep up the good work on your show. You have to admit, because I sent it to you.
Very rewarding.
Yeah,
it makes
great.
You feel good.
But it's important, I think, for the brothers and sisters who are listening. We are all involved in ministries the Lord brought us into, but the bottom line is, you may not have a big ministry like this, but that's not the issue.
No.
The issue is every single Catholic has been baptized and confirmed and called into this mission. And it happens first in your home, maybe your neighborhood or whatever.
Yeah.
But the key is that it's fundamental of being a disciple of Jesus Christ, that you're engaging in some way in communicating the good news to other people.
And I think you said the key thing. You don't have to be an expert. We're not talking about no expert stuff.
I mean, we'd be in trouble if they were.
I don't know about you.
And what we tell the college students, and I've seen in my own life, that the Catholic life is a little bit like riding a bicycle. I think Catholics sometimes sit back and say, well, it's very hard. I don't know what to do. Actually, it's easier if you go on mission. Just like it's easier to balance on a bicycle when it's rolling than it is when it's still.
Yeah.
The idea of mission is what gives us momentum into our life. And if we allow ourselves to be on mission, we'll be able to balance all the other things that the Catholic faith brings to our life.
Do quick, speaking of mission, you send a lot of your people on mission.
Oh, we do. We send hundreds of college students into second, third world countries, and it's just amazing to watch when an American young person wakes up to real poverty in the world. They start to live outside themselves. They open up to Christ, and we're seeing such a great connection between sending college students into mission for the summer and then coming back living completely transformed lives for the rest of their lives. Some of them will become missionaries long term, but all of them become missionaries in their lives because they've realized the world is in desperate poverty, spiritual, emotional, financial. It's a wake-up call.
Each one of us has that potential for mission. And we're going to get the last word on Go Out and Make Disciples and look into our email bag next here on Crossing the Goal. We're in the end zone.
Who cares? We kept it in the
lunch.
Broad spectrum, you know?
Yeah.
Push through the red zone into the end zone here on Crossing the Goal. Go make disciples as part of our Becoming Disciples series. Before the last word on that from our Crossing the Goal team, let's go to our email bag. We did a recent show on the porn trap, and Paul wrote, "I appreciate you discussing this topic. I have a question that you haven't addressed. How does watching porn affect your relationship with God and others?"
Well, I think, first of all, what happens to you if you get into porn and the darkness and sin and all the things that it brings, it takes you away from the light. You're in the darkness. And you fill yourself up with this evil, with all these other preoccupied thoughts. When do you have time for the Lord? It just won't work out. The two combination, it just won't jive.
You know, that's precisely what it says, that when we give into lust, we become spiritually blind. Which is interesting, because what Jesus says is, blessed are the pure at heart, because right. They will see God. You're not going to be able to see God or see God's action in your life as clearly, or maybe at all, if we allow ourselves to be enslaved by lust. And porn is probably the worst occasion of that right now in our culture.
I think one thing that guys don't pay a lot of attention to or talk much about is, when you open yourself up to that kind of stuff, you also welcome, you allow evil spirits to come and squat on your land. I mean, to hassle you, you give up your freedom. You say, you can come on in, because I'm going after this sin. There's a lot of stuff that comes within it that keeps you in bondage and keeps your mind dark.
And this is total self-centeredness. It is impossible to be God-centered when you're totally self-centered. Mm-hmm. All right, one more question from Diane, who says, "I'm a young mom of three, and I can't be overly involved in my own parish, let alone mission work of any kind. How can I respond to the Great Commission to go make disciples when I rarely get out of my own home?"
You know, Diane, that's a great question. And obviously the mission field that you have right now primarily is the three children that God has blessed you with. And that is discipleship. In fact, it in some ways is the primary form of discipleship, just as the family is the primary and fundamental cell of society. And so drink deeply. It's true. As a father of eight, I can tell you what all the older people said, and that is, it goes by very quickly. It's hard to imagine, because it seems to be overwhelming when you're in it. But to really enjoy that. At the same time, when those moments arise outside of the home, take advantage of those also. But don't think that you've given up something for the sake of family. Family is the heart of what you're doing. So thank you for your bold and heroic decision.
Intercession's a huge part, too, of the work of evangelization. Jesus prayed at night. He won souls by day. Your intercession, praying for those who are engaged in mission, is a very important part of the overall work of evangelization.
Therese of Lisieux, the patron of missionaries, never left the convent.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's get the last word now on becoming disciples. Go make disciples. Peter starts.
I want to give Pope John Paul II the last word here today, just to get a feel for the passion he felt in trying to call the whole church to a new evangelization. He says, "We cannot be content when we consider the millions of our brothers and sisters who, like us, have been redeemed by the blood of Christ, but who live in ignorance of the love of God. For each believer, as for the entire church, the missionary task must remain foremost, for it concerns the eternal destiny of humanity."
Powerful words. And I think there's so many themes. Jesus says something amazing in John chapter 15, verse 8. He turns to his apostles and said, "By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples." The show is about discipleship. When we live as disciples and share that life with others, we glorify God. That's a powerful thing. Please live that life.
I think to become disciples and go out and find disciples, you need to know and understand how it all works, I think, and feel comfortable about it. I want you to go join and be involved with a group of men first. And you'll see other guys that stepped out in various ways. And you'll find a way to go do it. Just by being around them and praying the Lord to send you to the right ministry that He wants you involved with. And it'll work out. Just be patient.
All right, Coach Curtis and Peter, thanks. And next time we're going to take this to a more personal level. We talk about mission and going making disciples. Well, mission starts with me. That's next time on Crossing the Goal. We'll see you then. Here's our Crossing the Goal team. Peter Herbeck, president.
Jeez. I almost forgot my name, didn't you?
That's it.
There we go.
Wow, hey. Yeah. Good one, Mike.
All right.
Hey,
legal procedure.
False start.
Oh, man. Follow my lead.
Follow my lead. Just remember, do as he says.
Mr. Brian, follow my lead, Patrick.
Wow.
I just wanted to hear that whistle.
I'm so glad.
That's Mike. Good.
Nicely
good, Mike.
Done.
I'm so glad I didn't get that penalty.
Is that 15 yards or is that 10?